In the first chapters of the book of Hebrews, the author had mentioned angels seven times and said that Jesus is superior to them. His name is superior to their names. Indeed, angels are spirits who serve people who will inherit salvation. If we continue reading the book of Hebrews, we'll see that in chapter 2, the author mentioned angels five more times. And we will also see the mention in chapter 9, the cherubim. And in chapter 12, he talked about the angels in joyful assembly. And in chapter 13, he talked about angels visiting humans. So today, I want to talk about angels, and hopefully we would come to understand angel better, and understanding angels will help us understand our ministry here in the local church and what we are to do as Christians. If you have the Bible, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, and we will read to chapter 2, verse 3. Let's read together Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation of disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Let's pray. Father, what about angels? And how are we to understand them and apply them to our lives here? We come to you this morning asking you to bless us with understanding so that we treasure not only your words, but these angels who are part of our lives, though they are invisible to us. Be with us and guide us as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, reading Hebrews, we understand that angel has names. That's the first thing that the author of Hebrew had mentioned to us. If you look at chapter 1, verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The implication here is that angel, each of them has a name, just like you and me. Now, you recall, as we study the book of Luke through Christmas, that there was an angel named Gabriel. So we know that name. And Gabriel means God is my strength. It's wonderful. You name your children and you give a meaning to the name. This generation is much more particular than the older generation who did not know God very well, but you do know God now, and you carefully chose the name, and you urge your children to live up to that name as well. I do that too. My wife did that too. But God has particular name for this angel. Now, in the Bible, we also know the angel Michael. Michael is a soldier. is a general of all the soldiers in heaven. We know that because Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 told us that when Satan and his angel rose up against God, Michael and the angels of God rose up and fought Satan and caused Satan to be downfall. It was Michael who led the fight. So we know that Michael was the leader of the soldiers. When we studied the birth of Jesus, we were surprised that soldiers were present at Jesus' birth. They gathered together and sang songs with the angel who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds. And we read that in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. In some way, here suggests to us that angels are divided into groups. And so we read again in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 2, that thousands upon thousands of angels gathered together in a joyful assembly. And that is wonderful to hear. And so that echo and confirm what Jesus has said in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, that angels actually come together and celebrate the repentance of a human being here on earth. They celebrate in the presence of God how wonderful it is that Christopher has come to faith and Ali has come to faith and Jessica and every one of us, when we come to faith, when we are born in the Spirit. There's a celebration in heaven, and all the angels gather together and celebrate. Now, how wonderful it is. I remember the last time we came to Jacques, and my wife and I bought a cup that on the day you were born, God danced. And it was a wonderful cup, a mug that was on my desk. I want to use that to care for the people who come to visit in the church. And lo and behold, it did not last very long. It was gone. Because I think people like that. So I've been looking for that mug ever since and haven't found it. So if you ever find a mug like that on the day you're born, God dancing, or that the angel danced, buy one for me. I'd love to have that. Well, that reminds me of this text about the angels in heaven, and they're so happy when you come to salvation, when I come to salvation. And Jesus affirmed that that is what angels in heaven do. they gather in joyful assembly. But those are probably soldiers who protect us. And what about the other groups? There are two other groups that are mentioned in the Bible. One is the cherubim. The book of Hebrew mentioned it in Hebrew chapter 9, verse 5. The cherubim, when God told Moses to build the ark of the covenant, God said, on either end, you should make one cherubim, and then their wings would come together to the center of the ark. Because the Bible teaches us that cherubims are the angels who protect God's throne and also protect God's holiness, God's righteousness. The Bible did not give us the current name of the head of the cherubim. But Satan was the head in the beginning. And so in Ezekiel 28, verse 14, God said, you were anointed, a cherubim, and that you walk among the mountains of God. That referred to the throne of God, the holiness of God. That's where he was. That's part of his responsibility and the responsibility of the cherubim to really protect that throne of God. And I suppose they would see that God received worship. Because the angel, the other angels, worship him. The other group of angels that were mentioned here are the seraphim. And the seraphims are the angels that Isaiah mentioned to us in Isaiah 6, that they fill the throne, fill the temple, and they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, day and night." These are the ones who worship God and sing praise to God. We don't know the leader's name of the seraphim. There are also the four living creatures in Revelation chapter 4 that have a feature like the seraphim because they sing holy, holy to God too. But they have a part like the cherubim who oversee the throne of God as well. So some thought that there's another third group called the living creatures. But I thought that probably is a composite of the angels that of all creation that God create to worship God. Because when you look at it, they have composite of every creature. So I'm not sure if that is a separate group of angels. If they are, Jesus would have told John that these are angels, but Jesus said, no, these are living creatures, and the angels are named as angels elsewhere. So I'm not sure about that. The author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 1:7 that God gave them special powers, and the powers that angels receive are winds and flame of fire. That is very interesting because in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18 to 19, when God overthrew Satan because of his sin in the garden, God took away the fire. If you read, the fire did not consume him from the outside. The fire consume him from the inside because the fire depart from him. And as the fire depart from him, he was consumed. He'd be turned to ashes. This is at the point where I understand Jesus referred to Satan and the demons as unclean. That part is also referred to all the burnt offerings that be burned to God in the Old Testament. And when you offer a burnt offering to God, it becomes holy before God. So fire, or flame of fire is here, is a sign that referred to the holiness of God. So the seraph, the cherubim, Satan, and those who fought against God, they rebelled against God, God took away their holiness. And so they become ash. And the term ash there is not literally ash, but ash in the sense of they become nothing to God. They can't face God anymore. Angels are spirits, and that is referred to the wind. Wind and spirit in the Hebrew and in the Greek is the same word. They're spirit. For that, you don't see them. I don't see them. Unless God send them on a special mission like Gabriel to Zechariah and to Mary, then they become visible. Like the two angels that accompany God to meet with Abraham under the tree before they go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They have the appearance of man. But that is a special permission, special requirement that God allow angels to appear to man so that man will not be frightened, like the angels that appeared to Samson's mother. And so we understand that spirits, they don't appear to us, and we don't see them unless it is a special occasion that God allowed them to be visible. So your angel would be around you, but you don't see. My angel would be around me, but I don't see. But the angels of God, when they are visible to you, then they are to communicate the word of God to you, like what is stated here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. And when God communicates to you through the angels, the word of the angels become the word of God. And if you don't obey the word of God, there is proper punishment for that. And we already study Zechariah, who did not believe, and he was punished mildly. He was unable to speak. Next week, we'll talk more about punishment of those who violate the word of the angels. But that's how angels are. That's how we understand angels. As much as the book of Hebrews have given to us and the inference from what he said in the book of Hebrews, these are what we understand about angels. The other part that's kind of hidden in this is about the fact that angels are not created to rule. They are created to serve. They are not referred to as sons of God. Sons of God is referred to only Jesus and to human, you and me. Those that Jesus redeemed are called sons of God. If you read on in chapter 2, Hebrew, look at verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. This referred to Jesus redeeming you, making you and me to become sons of God. In verse 14, chapter 1, said that angels are ministering spirits, and they are to serve those who will receive salvation or inherit salvation. But in the beginning, when there's Adam and Eve, humanity then was understood to inherit salvation. It was their creation that God said they are made in God's image and to sit on thrones to rule over everything that God has made. But at the same time, the author of Hebrews said to us that God created Adam and Eve and humanity lower than the angel. But then God will make them to be sons of God that are higher than the angel. Amen. That is so profound in this chapter 2 that the author of Hebrews has revealed to us by the power of the Spirit of God. And so this opening an understanding for you and for me about the challenge that Satan and one-third of the angels in heaven they face. God creates humanity lower than the angel. God created the angel higher than human, but God told the human to take care of those little men, little dirt people. Adam means son of the dirt, right? So the sons of the dirt will then become greater than the angel themselves. Now, if you are sitting there with Satan, imagine you there, okay? Then you know that God is worship. The Son of God, even though in the beginning God hid the Son of God and never allowed worship to take place. But Satan knew that the man will be made greater than themselves. But there's no plan for angel to be better than they are, already are. Now, the angels find themselves in this challenging situation. They see what God planned to do for man, but there's no plan to do anything for them. And what would they do? Satan wants to sabotage that plan. In Satan's mind, I can see clearly because I have been in a situation like that too. In Satan's mind is that we angels worship God because we are lower than God. These human beings, they should be worshiping us. Why would they worship God and not us? I think that is the challenge. That's why Satan got this idea, hey, let's rebel against God. So he did. The Bible taught us that he did. Here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, 16, here talked about he want to make human to worship him instead of worshiping God. And so he used the fear of death to hammer them and to cause them to go astray. He not only caused human beings to go astray, but he caused one third of the angels in heaven to go astray. He had done a successful job, except God said, your success will be just for a little while. I will undo that. I will change on that. Now, with this word here in verse 15 and 16 said that Satan used fear of death to take control of humanity. You look at it, and that's so true. You are afraid of death. I'm afraid of death. You know, when my gout attack, I thought I'm going to die. When I have diabetes, I know death is coming close. And even a pastor, I'm afraid of death. You are afraid of death until you realize that God is love. Then you think back to the love of God, how Jesus died for you on the cross and he redeemed you and made you a son of God. Then that fear of death vanished from your heart, vanished from your mind. That's how I understand that God would demonstrate his love to us, because love casts away fear. Isn't that wonderful? And so Jesus come and he died on the cross and he demonstrated the love of God and he's raised from the dead, and then we are free from Satan's dominion. That is part of the gospel that is so great. Now, understanding these things about angels and humans and the God, how do we take in, how do we apply these understanding to our lives here in the church? The Bible said in Deuteronomy 29:29 that whatever God had revealed to us, it is a blessing for us. It is something for us to live by. So how do we live by this understanding that God's revealed about the angels? I think there are several things. First, we are to trust God's wisdom for creation. How God created us is purposeful and good. Whatever the color of our skin, ethnicity, gender, social situation we are born into, God has a good purpose for us. If we are born into a good family, socially mobile, and fortunate circumstances like the angels, our ontological purpose, now I use a big word there, ontological is your purpose of being, okay? So your purpose of being is to participate in God's plan of helping others less fortunate. I think that is the message about the angels here that we have to understand. Now, if we are born into a bad family or socially immobile or in less fortunate circumstances like humans, we are therefore to anticipate God's redemption. God doesn't want you to be in that situation, but God has a purpose to redeem you, that God would demonstrate his love for you. Now, I think that has a great ramification for us as people of God in the church. Now, there are situations that you be in that you'd be so happy, a good job, like the IT people, the nurses here, who get well paid. And so you are happy. That there's a wonderful situation, that there's blessing there. But that blessing is not for you to hoard it, what you get, but that to allow you to participate in others, other less fortunate people around you. I think that is a wonderful thing. But then there are people who are less fortunate among us. Jesus plainly said, the poor will be with you always. And Jesus then come to us about Matthew 25, 31 to 46, and you know, take care of these guys. Because if you don't, your salvation hang in the balance. So I think that is very clear. I think the first understanding here is not to be angry with God if you get sick, if you're poor, if you're unable to do what you would love to do, and you're dependent on others, even dependent on the government or whatnot. Be satisfied with your situation there. God has redemption for you. And maybe that is how God will bring you to Him. Just like the Hebrews in Egypt, they are slaves. But God said, what happened in Egypt were my wings of eagles to really bring you to me. And I think our unfortunate situations in life have the power of good. And that power of good is to bring us to Him. And He will make us His sons and daughters. I think that's wonderful. Wonderful. The second thing that we are to learn from the story about the angels is that as Christians, we have attained the same status as angels. In Revelation chapter 19:10 and 22 verse 8 to 9, the angels pronounced to John that don't worship me. No, 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 don't worship me. Worship God. I'm like you. We are serving God. We are preaching the gospel. We are helping people. There's no difference between you as a human being serving God and me as an angel in heaven coming to help you. We are doing the same thing, serving God. We just have different roles. So you are elevated once you become a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus send you out with the authority of the angels. I think that is wonderful things. But obviously, there's a wrong way to use this power, this authority. It is very easy for us to use the unfortunate people and their circumstances for our own benefit, to enrich ourselves. I think that's obviously wrong. You don't need to have the mind of God to understand it. I think human beings be understand that clearly. If you see someone less fortunate and you made a fortune out of him, it's just clearly wrong. But another wrong way that seems neutral on the surface but has the same result is to do nothing about it when you see someone in an unfortunate situation, because the consequence and the result is the same as if you were walking away and let that person suffer without helping. And I think the story of the angels teach us to do something about that person. I'm thinking about Miley C. Lee's case. Pastor Daniel would very well, in his right mind, to say, no, we're not equipped to handle it. The governing board and the church could very well say, no, we are too small to take care of such a big thing. But with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you guys, without my presence, said, no, we're going to do something about it. And I think that is the kind of call that God really given to us through the story, the understanding of the angels here, that is when we are elevated to be in the same positions as angels, that's what we are to do, to take the little human beings who are less fortunate than us and to take care of that person. And I thank you for doing that. I'm sure the angels in heaven are happy that you are doing that and that we have done that. The third thing about these lessons that we learn is that God in his wisdom divided the angels into groups for various ministries, things that need to be done and must be done. And God divided them into the cherubim who oversee the throne of God and his holiness, and the seraphim who would do worship, and the soldiers who would protect not only God's people, but human. I think we will do well to imitate God and then to assign job responsibilities. We are fortunate that God's Spirit had led people for thousands of years to really say, hey, we need a governing board for the church, a group of people who are responsible for the holiness of the church, for the maintenance of the ministry of the church, just like the cherubim who oversee the throne of God and his holiness. And also, thanks to David, God had revealed that there must be a group of musicians and people to lead worship when the people of God gathered together, because God deserved worship. And when the temple is set up, that people will worship. And when people gather together, then people will worship. And thank God we have that in the church. And a lot of you have participated in that and continue to do, because that is something that it is revealed to us through the story of the angels as well. But I think there is a third thing that the Bible also called us to do, and to be soldiers. I think we don't create an army of people in the church and said, Watu, you are to be the general of our soldiers in our church. No, I think what the Bible taught us is that each of us is a soldier of God in this. And the way we protect the people in the church is through prayer. We got the message of Ephesians chapter 6 about you be putting on the armor of God. I mean, we becoming a soldier of God. And the greatest part of that all is to maintain our righteousness, to maintain our faith. And the most consequential part of our ministry is prayer. And God called all of us to pray, not only the leaders of the church, but everyone in the church to pray. Why? Because the people that you love, the people that you care, I don't know about. So I cannot pray for them, because I don't know them. God, tie them into your life so that you pray for them. And to protect them. You have brothers, sisters, you have aunts and uncles, you have nieces and nephews, you have people, co-workers, people that God just bind into your life and that you are to pray for. So the call is for all of us to be with the angel Michael to pray. Pray for healings, pray for protection. Just like Jesus prayed for the disciple in John 17. And Jesus said, I'm not only pray for these, but I pray for all people who will come to faith through them. Be a part of the people that Jesus prayed for. And I think we, as the soldier of God in this church, would do that and should do that. So each of us should learn how to pray, how to lift up people in prayer, to confess their sins before God, like Jesus confessed our sin before God, to pray that God will protect them in the name of Jesus, that Satan will not be able to take them away, but that they will be preserved for the day of Jesus coming. Let's stand up and pray. Father, thank you for the story of the angels. You open our hearts and open our minds to understand why the angels are divided and the different roles that the angels play in your kingdom. But we in the church is part of your kingdom, and you call on us to really follow the job responsibility of the angels, to do things just like the angels are doing, to send the good news just like Gabriel do, to protect the saint just like Michael does, and to praise you and worship you, to protect your honor in the church and your glory in the church, just like the cherubim and seraphim do. Help us to do those work in this place, that your name will be lifted up and glorified, and Jesus is exalted in our community. As we depart from the church, Lord, lead us, help us, that we will live in accordance to the call that you have made for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.